In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the Sunday before the great fast, and this season, we all understand it as a season of repentance. And there is a relationship between fasting and repentance. Fasting helps us whenever we are about to start to repent. In which way? Sometimes when we do not understand the relationship, we just change the food and fast will become a burden. And we will be counting the days until the feast will come, and then we'll throw this burden away. But if we truly intending while we are about to start the fast that we fast for repentance, we will see how fast helps and aids our repentance, our return to God. In which way fasting help our repentance? I will bring it to you some of the quotations for the church fathers and the contemporary theologians who explain to us in which way fasting aids and helps our repentance. Fasting cleanses the mind. We are all struggling with our thoughts. All of the images that we see every day, all of the past and the current images and thoughts and passions, all of them are taking place in our minds at the same time. We find difficulty whenever we are about to change that our minds are full of things that's not holy, and we know that it's very hard for us to get rid of them. But here are the good news about fasting and how it helps. Fasting is an exceptional virtue. It represses bodily impulses and gives strength to the soul to fight against the poisoning of the heart through the senses, and provides it with a remedy against any past poisoning. Fasting causes the mind to be cleansed constantly. It withers up every evil thought and brings healthy, godly thoughts, holy thoughts that enlighten the mind and kindle it with more zeal and spiritual fervor, a saying by Elder Ephraim. You can see here how fasting helps and aids. It cleanses the thoughts. There is no drug or medicine that we are aware of that can take from our mind all of these poisonous thoughts that we kept on gathering over the years in our minds. All of these passions that move inside, hatred and grudges and lust, all of these, how can we get rid of this? Fasting will help and aids us while we are struggling to repent by cleansing our minds. Fasting also the cross that we carry it willingly. We know that there are certain crosses and pains that come to our lives against our will. We do not choose them, but we accept as far as God is the one who allows it to happen. But fasting is the cross that we carry it with free will, and we follow the Lord Christ from the first day of the fast throughout the time of his passion till the crucifixion. Archbishop Avrichi of Syracuse says, a life of fasting properly understood as general self-limitation and abstinence to the annual practice of which the church always calls us with the great Lent is really that bearing of the cross and self-crucifixion which is required of us by our calling as Christians. And anyone who stubbornly resists this, wanting to live a carefree, happy and free life, is concerned for sensual pleasures and avoids sorrow and suffering, that person is not a Christian. It is truly whenever we accept to carry this cross, that we crucify our body through this as kind of asceticism. By this, we can say that we are Christians, but we are carrying cross. There is no Christian who is going carefree and putting his cross aside. We cannot live like this. And again, it is in fasting we do this, part of our repentance, that we carry the cross. It is by fasting that we fight and can conquer our enemies. We always feel there are many, many enemies around us. The world, Satan, our own body, are all working against us. How can we conquer all of these? How can we have an edge over them? It is through fasting. St. John the Dwarf says about this, if a king wanted to take possession of his enemy's city, He would begin by cutting off the water and the food, and so his enemies, dying of hunger, would submit to him. It is the same with the passions of the flesh. If a man goes about fasting and hungry, the enemies of his soul grow weak. When we are hungry and we are thirsty, our minds are concerned with this need. The mind cannot entertain lust and evil thoughts while this mind is concerned about the hunger and the thirst that the body is feeling. Something that we, those people who really know how to fast, how to abstain, they experience during these mornings of long abstinence. We know that it's very hard for us to be tempted with any kind of lustful thoughts. Our bodies are suffering because of this hunger and thirst, and then our minds focused only on the weakness that the body is experiencing. When we fast spiritually is when we refrain from evil. The idea of abstinence is a hint that in fast we change and we refrain not from food but from evil. When we fast spiritually with this understanding, this is repentance. Whatever I am doing and I know is not pleasing God, I will have to bring it to a complete stop during the fasting time. There is no point that I will continue watching what I'm watching, saying what I'm saying, and living the same kind of life, and I call it a fast. We hear from Saint Basil this saying about the spiritual meaning of the fast. Beware of limiting the good of fasting to mere abstinence from meats. Real fasting is alienation from evil. Lose the bands of wickedness. Forgive your neighbor the mischief he has done you. Forgive him his trespasses against you. Do not fast for strife and debate. You do not devour flesh, but you devour your brother. You abstain from wine, but you indulge in outrages. You wait for evening before you take food, but you spend the day in the low courts. Woe to those who are drunk, but not with wine. Anger is the intoxication of the soul and makes it out of its wits like wine. So here it is not, when we fast spiritually, it's not to abstain from eating meat while I'm eating the meat of my brother, speaking about him in evil way and slander against those around me. It's not being fasting, it's to stop drinking wine while I am intoxicated with anger and I go into these bouts of outrage. So here, truly, when we fast spiritually, is when we refrain from evil, not from eating certain kinds of food. By fasting, we acquire purity, holiness. That's without it, no one can see God. Bodily purity is primarily attained through fasting, and through bodily purity comes spiritual purity. Abstinence from food, according to the words of the Son of Grace, Saint Ephraim the Syrian, means not to desire or demand much food, either sweet or costly, to eat nothing outside the stated times, not to give oneself over to gratification of the appetite, not to stir up hunger in oneself by looking at good food, and not to desire one or another sort of food. It's a struggle. The struggle with our bodies will lead us to acquire bodily purity, and from this point we acquire spiritual purity. It's a struggle that all of us are going through to acquire the purity of mind and soul and body. Our thoughts would be holy. We think only of things that's accepted by God and things that's pleasing to Him. Fasting also is an act of obedience and temperance. What is repentance? Turning to God, obeying His commandment. We find difficulty doing this. Start by fasting, and fasting will aid you in your obedience, will help you obeying God. Fasting is absolutely indispensable for man. From the external aspect, it is a struggle of filial obedience to God, who has given us the rules of fasting through His Holy Spirit. From the inner aspect, fasting is a struggle of restraint and self-limitation. In this lies the great value and sense of fasting. Since a strict observance of fast tempers one's will and perfects the character of one who is firm in his religious convictions and actions. Let us not forget that Christ himself fasted and foretold that his apostles would also fast. It's a lesson on how we control ourselves. You are struggling with your temper. It is by fasting you can hold this. You are struggling with bad thoughts. You are struggling with lustful desires. It is by fast we start to acquire this kind of temperance. And by fast also we express obedience. Fasting prepares us for spiritual worship. That's why the church teaches us that before every liturgy we have to fast. Also during the fasting time, we are encouraged to come openly to the church, attending more liturgies and take communion more openly. Fasting prepares us for spiritual worship, and by fasting and by prayers, we will be able to abide in God and He in us. In the New Testament, fasting is recommended as a means of preparing the mind and the heart for divine worship, for long prayer, for rising from the earthly and from spiritualization. All of those people who are able to fast truly, they know that during the fasting time, it's much easier to stand and pray because our stomach are empty. Compare this to the time of the Holy 50 days. When the Holy 50 days comes, everything goes slow. We find difficulty in praying. What we used to do every day is now a struggle. Why? What's the difference? The difference is that we are full. It shouldn't be the case in the Holy 50 days, but this is something to prove that when we are hungry, when we are missing the food that we like, we are able more to worship God and stand more easily for longer hours and praying to Him. Fasting also aids our repentance in a way that it teaches us humility. When we feel weak, by then we can unite with God. The people of Nineveh taught us this lesson. They wanted to express to God that they learned a lesson, and they wanted to humble themselves before Him. What is the tool? It's fasting. Let us fast. Let us sit in ashes and put sackcloth, and by doing this, may God will pity us, will look upon our humility, and will accept us. Fasting is an outlet for compassion and a guard upon obedience. It destroys evil thoughts and roots out the insensibility of the heart. Fasting is a gate to paradise. When the stomach is constricted, the heart is humbled. He who fasts prays with a sober mind, but the mind of the intemperate person is filled with impure fancies and thoughts. Look how here fasting is aiding us to acquire this great virtue. There is no other way. Going around the fast to be humble without it, how can we do this? It didn't work before. This is the wisdom of the church that the church acquired throughout all of these years, brought to us today when the church organizes for us that season of the fast and lead us to this life of repentance and purity. Fasting is also an expression of love towards God and His kingdom. I fast not to avoid God's wrath. God is not going to punish me when I do not fast. I fast because I love Him. I want to draw closer to Him. And this is the way that the church teaches me. Here we find the reason that fasting is often used as a measuring stick by the Holy Fathers. He who fasts much is he who loves much, and he who has loved much is forgiven much. He who fasts much also receives much. You want to know if you love God or not? Don't say that my heart is full of the love of God. I feel like I love God. This is not how we measure. It is when we fast and when we offer our bodies as sacrifices. This is the measuring stick by which we can judge ourselves. And we know that if we love much, we will be forgiven much. If we love much, we will receive much, as was said to the sinful woman. Fasting also helps us control our tongues. A struggle for all men, the most difficult among all, that we come to the point where we can restrain our tongues from saying what's not accepted by God or what is not edifying. St. John Climax say, if you can begrudge the stomach, your mouth will stay closed because the tongue flourishes where food is abundant. The tongue flourishes when food is abundant. Yes, all of these banquets, when we sit and we eat and we talk, we keep on saying. I'm sure that most of what we say, maybe we will lack discernment, but when we are fasting, this will restrain our tongues as well. Part of our repentance, that we come to hold our tongues and tame it. So today, if we are willing to start this great season, season of repentance, we have to start by fasting. We are not going to go with, I'm going to delay this and this, unless I have a reason that's truly something I discussed with my father of confession. If I want to return to God, it is today, it is now, it is as of tomorrow I will start the fast. If truly I feel the importance of the fast, I will abide to what the church is teaching me. If I wanted to gain all of these blessings and acquire all of these virtues, it is the time, and the time is now. Let us fast, a spiritual fast, pleasing to God and aiding us in our repentance, making us to draw closer to Him who loved us and fasted on our behalf. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.